Welcome to the Second Mile Church Podcast, where we believe deeper friendships, a bigger God, and fuller lives in Christ are found in the second mile.
I want to jump into week number three of Elijah and Elisha, a tale of two prophets. And I truly have thoroughly enjoyed opening up 1 and 2 Kings and just watching God speak through these two individuals and their stories. And so if you've got your Bible, go to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 14 is where we'll land for the most part of this morning. The first week of this series, just to catch you up, I titled it Seas and Slaughter. It was the showdown at Mount Carmel and Elijah versus the 450 prophets of Baal of which God will show up. Which God will show up. And really, Elijah was tired of his land, his people, being infiltrated with lies that there was another God around that was better than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was somebody better. There was somebody that it was deception that had infiltrated the people and the land. And so really Elijah confronted it all and said, I'm tired of this. And he saw that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob consumed his sacrifice, and Baal was nowhere to be found. And he didn't stop there. He said, I'm not going to let the land be deceived anymore. He seized and slaughtered every prophet of Baal that there was. And we really just landed on the idea that so many of us, we stay in limbo of what we're doing for God because we continue to let deception remain in the land. And we need to seize and slaughter everything that is trying to redirect us. The second week, last week, we talked about God is always speaking. We talked about, we titled it silent speech, because sometimes there's communication that happens that we sometimes don't recognize between God and us. Most of our communication as believers is us taking a moment to pray to Him, pray at Him. And can I tell you, it's a two-way conversation. God is always speaking. We're not always listening. We had two great competitors up here watching you silently speak to them in a reverse charades activity, because I think learning should be fun. Amen. And we understand that God is speaking, and we need to maybe listen beyond the earthquake, beyond the wind, beyond the fire. Maybe He's speaking to us with a whisper. Today, I title it Striking Streams. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. After the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria. He lay sick. He sent messengers telling them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this sickness. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, for you shall surely die. Really, Elijah's basically saying, you know, you've inquired from another God. Didn't you learn anything? Haven't you figured out who the true God, one true God is? And because of that, you shall not come down from your bed. You shall surely die. The messengers returned to the king, and he said to them, why have you returned? And they said to him, There came a man to meet us and said to us, go back to the king who sent you, and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you're inquiring of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you should not come down from your bed that you've gone up to, for you shall surely die. He said to them, what kind of man was he who came to meet you and told you these things? They answered him, he wore a garment of hair with a belt of leather about his waist. Many other translations will say he was a hairy man. All right? See, guys, he can use anybody. God can use anybody. He was a hairy man with a leather belt. How about that? And he said, is it Elijah the Tishbite? Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 men with his 50. And he went up to Elijah, who was sitting on top of the hill, and said to him, I am reading the wrong scripture. I've been in this passage for weeks now studying it myself. And I could preach this right here. Maybe I should. But I'm going to keep reading if that's okay. Because it's going to get us to chapter 2, where I really need to be. You're welcome. Get my thank you notes back out. Thank you. Oh, man of God, the king says, come down. Verse 10, but Elijah answered the captain of 50, if I am the man of God, let fire come down. And basically, the king is questioning Elijah three different times. He sends 50 men to Elijah to question, to try to get Elijah to come and meet him. And Elijah calls down fire from heaven and kills them. He sends another 50 men or soldiers down to get Elijah. Elijah sends fire from heaven and kills them. Finally, the king figures out, I've got to send the king with another 50. And that's when Elijah gave in. In verse 15, the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him, do not be afraid. So he arose and went down with him to the king and said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to acquire Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, again, you shall surely die. And the cool thing about this, what we need to understand is Elisha last week was called by Elijah to be his successor. That this great prophet Elijah, who's doing miracles after miracles, who's being used to speak on behalf of God to even kings. Can I tell you, we get so tied up when pastors and preachers and everybody else somehow start speaking about how politics should line up with God's word. And we say, boy, there's a separation of church and state. They need to know their lane. Can I tell you, there are ministers after ministers after ministers that were involved in government. And Elijah didn't have a position with government, but he had a position with God to speak for or against. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful to be so high and mighty that we can't speak on issues that the church needs to hear, the people of God need to hear. There's a cancel culture out that truly wants to silence Elijah. 50 people twice came to him to try to get him to change his tune. And then another king came, and Elijah, sure enough, went to the king himself and said, you shall surely die. And the coolest part of this, Elisha, his apprentice, is watching all this take place. And in chapter 2, now when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he said, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. Elijah again said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets were at Jericho. They drew near to Elisha and said to him, hey, you know the Lord's going to take your master away from you today. Yes, I know it. Keep quiet. Then Elisha for a third time said, please stay here, Elisha, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan. And Elisha responded the same way, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went where? On. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them. As they were both standing by the Jordan, Elisha took his cloak off, rolled it up, struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. Verse 9, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. It wasn't that Elijah couldn't, you know, petition with God to give him a double portion. Elijah, the mentor, the one walking with Elisha, was trying to tell him, you haven't asked for something hard to be given. You've asked for a hard thing to receive and walk out. Some of us need to understand we want something that we're not willing to receive. Some of us want this and have asked God for that, and we wonder why he hasn't given it to us. Because he knows we might not be ready for a hard thing. But Elisha had spent time with Elijah. Elisha had walked with Elijah when he had to stand up to pressure. When he had to hear from God. When he had to simply obey the Lord when it didn't seem normal. Stay with me. And he said in verse, where am I at? Yes, verse 11. And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire, horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. He saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes, tore them into two pieces, and he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak and he struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he struck the water parted from one side to the other, and Elisha walked over on dry ground. Can I just look at this first few verses of chapter 2 real quickly? Think about the worst place you've traveled to. I want you to think about that for a moment. Where's the worst place you've traveled to? It could have been by accident. It could have been on purpose. You were just had to go there. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the worst place I've ever been, yeah, there was some Instagram shots I was able to grab, but the worst place I've ever been was Paris, France. The nastiest city I've ever been to. It's just nasty. Or at least it was. God bless the French, okay? But it was nasty. I was expecting something different. I want us to look at the journey that Elijah took Elisha on before he departed from him. This is so important. Elijah took Elisha to Gilgal. That was the first city that he took Elisha to. Because Gilgal represented the past of the Israelites in slavery in Egypt. As a matter of fact, that's where the 12 stones sit representing God's delivered us. God's performed a miracle. He set us free. He's from the captivity of the Egyptians. We can't get more of God sometimes because we can't quit looking back at the world that we once lived with. Elijah wanted to remind Elisha that everything you need for what's next is lying in front of you right now. To stop looking back at the past. Yes, you need to be reminded that God is still the God that delivers today. But don't look back at the past and say, that was better than where I am now. Gilgal was a special place. And Elijah asked Elisha, hey, do you want to stay here? Why don't you just stay here, big fella? And Elisha said, no, I'm going with you. So they went on to another town called Bethel. Jacob wrestled with God in Bethel, and that's where the name came from. Bethel reminds us of the truth that God still speaks to us and changes us. As a matter of fact, Bethel, in its translation means house of God. Elijah wanted Elisha to know that God still speaks. And if you can learn anything else, don't look back at the past. Understand that God still speaks to you now. You need to know that. But why don't you just stay here, Elisha? Nope, I'm going on with you. So on to Jericho, it says in chapter 2 that they go, where the walls came down. It was a weird military strategy. I want you to walk around this city, these walls, for 6 days. And on the seventh day, go ahead and walk around it 7 times. But after the seventh time, I want you to shout. Thankfully, he didn't say, I want you to make your best turkey sound. I want you to shout. Either way, it sounds crazy. What kind of military strategy is this? But if you haven't passed through Gilgal and quit looking at the world and start looking at God, if you haven't graduated to Bethel so you learn to hear the voice of God, you're not going to do what God says in Jericho when he tells you something wild and crazy to do that's going to defeat the enemy. So there's a method to the madness of where he's taking Elisha on this last journey. If you let go of the world at Gilgal, if you learn to hear from God, then you'll be willing to do something wild and something that doesn't make sense so that you can experience the miraculous that doesn't make sense. And therefore, he asked Elisha one more time, will you just stay here? And Elisha said no. And Elijah takes him to the Jordan where a double portion is handed out. I want to remind you this morning, I don't know where you're stuck at or if you're stuck, but I do believe that some of us are stuck at Gilgal. We took the off-ramp at Gilgal where we keep looking back. Some of us took the off-ramp at Bethel to never experience what it means to hear the voice of God so that when we get to Jericho I'm not even going to get to Jericho. I'm just going to stay here at Bethel. Some of us are stuck at Jericho whining about how ridiculous these instructions are, how undignified that's going to make me look when he wants us to eventually get to where Jordan is to offer us the double portion that's available to us. The journey. That's the journey here in this passage of scripture. How about the test? The test, and that's pretty simple here. God, Elijah asked Elisha 3 times, please stay here. Same thing with church planting. Moving to Wilmington with a family of six to plant a new church. And I can only share from my own experiences. There was a moment when we had already decided this is what God's called us to do, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And nothing can detour us from that. Can I tell you, as soon as we made that commitment to the Lord and to ourselves, a phone call came through my cell phone from somebody who I highly respected, and I've waited on for years for that phone call. And it was a ministry opportunity that I would never have turned down if it wasn't for Jordan in my future. It was the off-ramp. It was the please stay here call. It was the test. And I believe God will test you to see if you will take the easy exit ramps when he wants to get you to something greater. There's the mentoring in this passage of scripture. Verse 7 and 8, Elisha stayed close to Elijah to observe and learn. Elijah didn't offer much how-tos. Listen to me. We don't see too much of Elijah walking the student, Elisha, through. Okay, now listen. When the king and his 50 men get here, here's what we need to do. You don't see this. You see Elisha watching a man take his cloak off, roll it up, and strike the water. You see Elijah, he's staying close enough to watch and learn and observe. Sometimes we want the how-tos, we want the step-by-step, and we're not willing to just spend years. Elisha left a life of good living to spend years being mentored by Elijah. Then there's the request. Elijah asked what Elisha wanted before he was taken away. And Elisha requested a double portion. Elisha, in my opinion, wanted two scoops. You ever been at that moment? Somebody knows what I'm talking about. In the practical, in the human side of that, you go to a good ice cream shop like Kilwin's, which is opening up right here at the Barclay Point, right? And you see all that good ice cream, you smell the chocolate in the air, and you're going in conservatively. You're like, I'm disciplined. And you get to the moment where it's like, can I taste test? And they give you those little spoons. And you're like, that's one scoop basically right there. And then they say cup or cone, and they put one scoop on there, and you're like, give me two scoops. This was Elisha. I don't want what you've got. I want double what you've got. And Elisha was, in those times, was basically requesting the firstborn son's inheritance because he knew that he was called to take care of so much responsibility. Think of it as a firstborn son having to take care of all that his father is leaving him. That firstborn son needs more than what the other children need because now it's in his care, in his responsibility. Elisha knew, I just don't need a normal portion. I need double because I've watched you work. I've watched God use you. I've watched you submit yourself to amazing things that God wants to do in your life. And I can't do it with just a normal portion. I need a double portion. I believe God wants to equip you in this room. There's somebody that needs to hear this message this morning. I believe God wants to equip you with two scoops today. The ones that can ask for a double portion are the ones closest to the playing field. Why do I know that? Because there were 50 prophets across the river that didn't remain close to Elijah, and they didn't have an opportunity to ask for a double portion. The ones closest to the playing field are the ones able to position themselves for a double portion. And then finally, there's the miracle. You can come play this morning. the miracle. Not Mary. Please, not Mary. But you give her a guitar, she'll fool you. She's got it. The miracle. We've got the journey. We've got the test. We've got the mentoring. We've got the request. And now we've got the miracle. Almost. Elijah took the cloak off. Elisha took the cloak of Elijah, stood at the bank of the Jordan, and struck the water, and the water parted. And as he struck it, you saw a little bit of humanity in it, because he asked this question, where's the God of Elijah? Can I tell you, God's okay with you questioning where he is as long as you're obeying him. Listen to me this morning. God's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of your doubt this morning. He is, however, I believe, disappointed when we don't trust him. Because he knows best. His ways are higher than our ways. They're greater than our ways. And Elisha, in that moment, took Elijah's cloak, which was the double portion, which was the power, what represented the anointing that once called Elisha in the field away from everything he had known to a life to be used by God. And finally, it's that moment. Here's the cloak, and Elijah's not there to pick it up. I am. Picks it up and he strikes the water at the same time asking God, where are you? I love that picture because I don't care how spiritual you get. I don't care what position or what platform or stage you stand on one day. I don't care how much influence and impact you can make spiritually at your workplace or in your family. There's going to be a time where if you accept a greater calling in your life, you need to know it's okay. In the moment of obedience, saying, God, where are you? I need you. This was the I need you statement. Because I watched the man of God do it. And there's nothing that says I'm qualified in my own mind and my own history to take that same cloak and perform the same miracle that he just did. This was the I need you question from Elijah. And I believe that's the question every one of us need to ask. God, where are you? Where are you? Somebody needs to hear this morning. I feel God in this moment. There's been some of you've picked up the cloak. And you've got this far, and you didn't think you could do it. And you gave up because you didn't know to ask questions like, where are you? You gave up. You never saw what you felt like you were called to because you thought you had to do it yourself. And you didn't have it in you to do it the way you thought it was supposed to be done. And you quit because you didn't know to trust God to do it for you. There was nothing in Elisha's own power. God, where are you? Oof. Will you stand with me this morning? I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads for this moment right here. Close your eyes. Because I feel led to ask one specific question to one specific group of people who I feel like God's speaking to right now. To the ones that were supposed to pick up the mantle and walk out something God's called you to, and you haven't yet. I'm not here to condemn you for what you may have didn't obey at the time, but you haven't yet. We don't know if it was back then or right now, but you haven't yet. And you need to ask God, where are you? I just need to know who I'm praying for this week, because I've stood in your shoes. I've been at the place where, God, if you don't do something in the middle of me stepping in obedience, I'm going to be a mess. Matter of fact, it's going to even hinder what people have seen in my history of walking with you, I believe. All those thoughts begin to cross our mind. That's going to mess up our reputation. It's going to, because we take it in our own hands and think it's up to us to do the rest. If you've been called to do something, I'm not talking necessarily about full-time ministry or any, but that could be it for some of you. But I'm talking about you've been called by God to do something specific and you haven't done it yet because you haven't trusted God to do the parting, to do the miraculous. Would you just throw your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm guilty, but I'm ready. Yeah. I'm guilty, but I'm ready. I'm here. I'm picking up the cloak again. I'm rolling it up. I'm ready. God, I pray right now for those few that raised their hand. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself in such a unique way to those individuals this morning. I specifically pray for the ones that feel called to some type of ministry in this room this morning. God, I pray that you would make sure that there's an Elijah in their life. God, make sure that they know it's okay to question, where are you, God, in the middle of their obedient walk. And you showed up with Elisha when he asked that question. And I know that you've shown up in my life when I've asked that question. So God, I ask that you show up when they ask that question. Where are you? God, for the ones that have searched for you and they've somehow got stuck at Gilgal, they've got stuck at Bethel, they've got stuck at Jericho, along the way, and they've searched for you and somehow even changed the tone of that question, where are you? They may even say, he's not thinking of me anymore. God, I pray that as they ask that question, where are you this morning, you would reveal yourself to those people, full of grace, full of mercy, full of truth. In Jesus' name, God, speak to your people this morning. For those that are lost and far from you today, I pray that they would surrender their life fully to you this morning. Prayer team, if you can make your way to this middle section right here. If you could look up at me this morning. These prayer team members are going to be here until they don't need to be here any longer. They are true servants. But as Melissa closes out service in just a moment, I'm going to be out in the hallway. This prayer team is going to be right here. And if you need to know who Jesus is and surrender your life to him, don't miss that opportunity with these great people. If you have something that you brought in today that you need to release to God, don't leave here without doing that with these prayer team members. We want to be with you and pray with you this morning. Do you receive the word of God this morning? I know next week is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and that's typically when we switch gears and you can actually put up your Christmas decorations. And we may hear on our stage, but I want to finish this series before we jump into Christmas stuff. I believe there's one more week of a word that somebody needs to hear. And so I'll write a thank you note to you for allowing us to do that. But will you give it up for the pregnant Melissa Candler? Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, text YES to 910-537-5773. We have some tools to help you on this new journey. If you'd like to know more about Second Mile Church, text CONNECT to 910-537-5773. Thank you for going the second mile with us. Now it's time for you to go the second mile in your life.